2020 defeat by falsely claiming the election was blighted by widespread voter fraud. He has represented Illinois in the House of Representatives since 2011 and was speaking following the last session held by the committee and on the eve of his departure from Congress. Adam Kinzinger also slammed Republican leaders for maintaining Donald Trump's influence on the U.S. Capitol landscape by playing down the significance of the Capitol attack and Trump's incitement of the riot, and often backing Trump's lies about elections being rigged. He blamed the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy in particular, who is currently battling to become the new Speaker of the House, as the reason the former President Donald Trump remains such a force in U.S. politics. "He is the reason Donald Trump is still a factor," Adam Kinzinger said. "He," referring to Kevin McCarthy, "is the reason that some of the crazy elements of the House still exist." Kevin McCarthy, he said, has visited Trump at his Mar-a-Lago, Florida residence shortly after the January 6 insurrection. That show of mutual support at a pivotal moment resurrected Trump's relevance in politics, strengthening the right. In McCarthy making the trip, he said, Republicans went from not knowing what to do about Trump to begrudgingly defending him. "Donald Trump should consider Kevin McCarthy his best friend, because Donald Trump is alive today politically because of Kevin McCarthy," Adam Kinzinger said. He noted that the then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other Senate Republicans failed to convict Trump during his historic second impeachment for inciting the insurrection. "The Republican Party is not the future of this country unless it corrects itself," he said. "If you think of a successful America in 20 years' time, that's not going to be an America based on what Marjorie Taylor Greene wants, or some of these radicals want," he added. As the 2024 presidential election gradually takes shape, Adam Kinzinger said he was fearful for American democracy, given that maybe a third of the country believes the last election was stolen from Donald Trump. The Republican congressman said it was not his intention to run for the Republican presidential nomination, but he conceded that it would be fun to run against Trump, who in November declared his candidacy for the 2024 Republican nomination. The website Axios.com has also covered this story and tells us more. Outgoing Representative Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois, said in an interview on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday that he fears for the future of this country if former President Donald Trump isn't charged with a crime over the deadly 6th of January 2021 insurrection. "If this is not a crime, I don't know what it is," Kinzinger, one of two Republican members of the House January 6 committee, told CNN. "If a president can incite an insurrection and not be held accountable, then really there is no limit to what a president can do or can't do." Kinzinger, who was also one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump for incitement of the insurrection in January of 2021, announced later that year that he would not seek re-election in October of 2021. "I think the Justice Department will do the right thing. I think he will be charged, and I frankly think he should be charged," Kinzinger told CNN. "If he's not guilty of a crime, then I frankly fear for the future of this country. I feel honored to be at this moment in history and to have done the right thing," he added. In an unprecedented move, the January 6 panel voted unanimously in December to refer Donald Trump to the Department of Justice on at least four criminal charges for his efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. The House committee referred Donald Trump, who has announced a 2024 White House bid on charges of obstruction of an official congressional proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to make a false statement, and incite, assist, or aid and comfort an insurrection. The referrals do not require the Department of Justice to take any additional steps. However, the referrals could help with the Department of Justice's own investigation into Donald Trump. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed Special Counsel Jack Smith to oversee the federal criminal investigations into Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election and handling of classified documents that will be tasked with prosecuting federal crimes that arise from the investigations. The January 6th House panel has released dozens of transcripts along with its long-awaited final report, making public witness testimony gathered from its 18-month investigation into the Capitol riot. The House committee is set to resolve on Tuesday, 3rd of January 2023, at the start of the new Congress, which will see Republicans narrowly take control of the House of Representatives.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, congratulations to dear listeners all across the world on the day of Mab'as, the day Prophet Muhammad was selected as the last Prophet of Allah on earth. Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the main signs for selecting Muhammad ibn Abdullah as the last Prophet of Allah, and why Hijaz, I mean this land, was the main land for the establishment of the last prophethood and also the last religion of Allah on earth, that is Islam. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you, brother. Why Prophet Muhammad and why Hijaz?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For the first question, obviously, there is a verse in the Quran. Allah said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any one of you. Mm-hmm. And he is the last prophet, Khatamun Nabiyyin.
Yes.
He is the seal of the prophets,
yes,
and the messengers.
Yes.
So being the seal of the prophets and messenger is mentioned by God, who has sent 124,000 prophets and messengers, which we believe started from Adam alayhi salam and it ended on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is no other question in it when Allah has said, being a Muslim, when I am a Muslim, I believe in God. In the Quran, when Allah has said that He is the seal of the prophets, then there is no question.
Yes.
On the other hand, if the question is for the others,
yes,
non-Muslims, that why they can't, because we have the Ahmadiyya, for example.
Yes.
They,
yes.
they call themselves Muslim, but they believe Ahmad, for example, is one of the last prophets.
Yes.
Or Imam Mahdi, sometimes they say.
The sons of, for example, Imam Mahdi or Imam of the time.
So
that's right.
They believe in this. There are other groups as well in the we can say, like, they were raised in the Muslim Ummah.
Yes.
And when we go to their history, how they were raised,
mm-hmm.
for example, about the Ahmadiyya, it is from the Gujarat of the India,
yes.
from one of the towns or the villages. He was supported by the British government of that time.
Okay.
So, you know, behind every...
Yeah, Muhammad Bab.
Yeah.
Yes, Muhammad Bab.
Behind
yeah.
every
yes.
single, you
That's
know,
right.
these activities that we have, we see the British government behind
yes.
it. So
the conspiracies, yes.
yes. It's always
okay.
there because
yes.
according to the rule that they have, like divide and rule,
divide and
this
rule,
principle
right.
that they have, so they yeah. want to divide even the Muslim.
But they were
Ummah.
Not successful in establishing any
not.
Type of religion or something
yes.
like that?
They're definitely not.
That's right.
They're very limited. And in today's world, like even now,
okay.
they have a dispute.
Yes.
Especially after the death of the last
yes, yes.
one, his son, he didn't accept it to be
yes.
the next, we can say, prophet.
This,
or
this is for sure that Prophet Muhammad was
yeah.
the seal of prophets and Islam was the
yes.
last and the most complete and comprehensive form of the religions with approval of the previous monotheistic religions, of course. Okay.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
on the other hand, obviously, the signs which were
uh-huh.
Said in the Bible that we have,
oh.
in the other books, about the prophet, the name, his name was mentioned, like
mm-hmm.
Ahmed, if it was mentioned, or the other names that
okay.
he had. So all these signs are about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
On the other hand, why it was Hijaz?
Yes.
Now, it is the upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he thinks the best possible way where the prophet who will come, he can preach in the best way he
yes.
has sent there. For example, he has sent many prophets in the land of Palestine,
yes.
in the land of Syria, for example.
Yes.
There are other prophets who migrated from that place to the other places, like towards the Persia or India and other places. So even we believe that, you know, America, when there were Red Indians, there might be a prophet there, because wherever there is a human being, Allah has sent prophets. It was the Allah's, we can say, sunnah.
Yes.
That he has sent prophets. But later people were changed, obviously.
Okay.
And they changed their religion. So he has sent the prophets. The Hijaz of that, at that time, obviously, because Hijaz was a place where Quraysh used to live.
Okay.
And Quraysh was known as the most richest and the best, we can say, best of people.
Yes.
In Arabic land, in
the
Arabia,
tribe. Yes.
the tribe.
The head of the tribes, that's right.
That's first thing. The second thing is the language which they used to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most, comprehend and eloquent language
yes.
which they had.
Okay.
And since Arabic language is most eloquent and it is most, we can say, like comprehensive language amongst the world's languages, where we have Chinese, English,
yes.
Urdu, other
yes.
languages. Even in today's world, Arabic is the best, we can
okay.
say, most comprehensive language. So Allah has selected Hijaz
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Okay. That's right. Of course, beside all these, there are so many historical backgrounds.
There are many.
Yes,
there are many.
I will get back to them. Let me get now. It's the time for Shaykh Rouhani. And let's listen to him. That why Muhammad ibn Abdullah was selected as the last prophet. And why Hijaz? And that time, you know, bare desert land. With no fresh area or green forest, were selected as the part for the last religion of Allah on earth.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding your first question, if you want to explain this fact or truth to the youth, we should make use of this example that, for example, when you have a baby, you buy for him, for example, or her some clothes,
yes.
clothing, and then the later when he grows up or she grows up, you will buy some new kind of clothing till he become a complete man or woman.
Yes.
And at that time, no longer you will change the clothing. You're the same size you will be bought for that complete and perfect, you can say, man or woman. So since human being historically improved in the course of time during the history by sending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send different prophets to the people. So step by step, I mean centuries by centuries, let's say, millennia is by millennia.
Yes.
So the people improved.
Yes.
That's why at the time of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that it seems that the people or the human being or the nations improved in terms of intellectuality, in terms
okay.
of their logic or aqlaniyah, which is termed in Arabic. So that is why the last prophet, when came, he brought the last version of the religion, the most complete one,
yes,
and the most perfect one, mm-hmm, and the most, let's say, suitable and useful and helpful kind of instructions, yes, orders, commandments to the people.
And his miracle was an academic one too.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
The Quran, that's right.
That's why he was the last prophet.
Yes.
And because we have ijtihad in Islam that makes scholars, I mean Muslim scholars, able to deal with the new and modern kind of issues as well, based on those certain principles that we have in Islam. So that's why it is the most complete version of the divine religions. That's why he is the last prophet. There's no need after him to any other prophet.
That's right.
This is regarding the first question. Regarding the second question, actually, we know, you know that among Muslim scholars, philosophers, theologians, fuqaha, and scholars, there is a kind of division between the two very key terms. One is dalil, ma huwa dalil, what is the main reason, what is the exact reason of something.
Okay.
And sometimes we have another term which is called hikmah. What is the hikmah of something? Well, what philosophy. Is the wisdom, between
right.
something,
yes.
Behind something?
Yes.
Okay. So if we talk about the real reason of these kind of choices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made regarding the last prophet, why, for example, Muhammad was the last prophet.
Mm-hmm.
We in reality, we do not know what was the real reason, because it is hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Yes.
But we might know some of the hikmah, some of the experiences, some of the benefits, some of the interests of these kind of choices of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, regarding Hijaz, I want to look at this issue from a historical perspective.
Very good.
When we look at the Hijaz historically, we see that at the time of the Holy Prophet, in Iran, we had a very great and powerful ancient regime, or we can say kingdom.
Yes.
And it was really powerful. Even the Prophet, when he sent the letter to the king
Khosrow
of Iran,
Parviz.
Khosrow Parviz,
yes,
he just made fun of the Prophet.
Yes.
He didn't believe
even.
The
Sassanids.
Yeah,
Sassanids.
The last
Sassanid
king.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And also when he sent, for example, a letter to the king of Greece.
Yes.
Again, he didn't believe that. Is it possible that from Hijaz, from that isolated peninsula,
yes,
someone can send me a letter as a king to convert to Islam
and invite me to something new?
It was unbelievable for them. Why?
Yes.
Because Hijaz was a kind of isolated area.
Yes.
No one was there. It was not under the control of either this power or that power.
Mm-hmm.
In that kind of place, a prophet was able to spread his teaching because there was no control on those areas by the kings.
Yes.
Had the Prophet had been in, for example, in Iran or in Greece or even in India and China, because in these areas there were really powerful kings, kingdoms were there,
and dynasties.
They would do the same thing that they did with the Prophet Jesus, crucified him.
Yes, yes.
So that's why I think at the same time the people of Hijaz, since they were living in the desert areas in Sahara, they were very much strong and powerful.
Yes.
Later we see that when they attacked Iran, when they attacked other areas, they succeeded.
Yes.
They defeated their enemies because of that kind of strengthness that they naturally had living in the desert areas.
Yes.
This was in terms of the physical powers.
Yes.
And in terms of the ideological perspective, I think it was because of this that the Prophet freely, freely spread it. The teaching of Islam in Medina particularly, and then in Mecca. And he invited the people of Hijaz. Once he gathered the people of Hijaz, he made a very powerful kind of establishment in Hijaz. And then later he succeeded to conquer many other lands and areas.
About the hikmah, it is believed that at the time of Prophet Muhammad, the house of Allah, that is Kaaba, was, we can say, controlled by polytheists, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many idols made out of wood and stone over there. So what is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now?
Mm-hmm.
Usually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to revive his customs and his sunnah, sends a prophet to that land. And we know that among the first things that Prophet Muhammad did on that time after he was selected, that Prophet Muhammad. And before that, of course, there is a beautiful history about the life account of Prophet Muhammad before 40 years. We do not have time for that. But after that, when on the day of Mab'as, I do want to say that, again, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which has roots in so many centuries before Prophet Muhammad, is going to be revived again.
Yes, of course. That was true regarding Kaaba, that it became a center of polytheism at that time. That was true. But I think the other reason, the last reason that I wanted to mention is that the last prophet to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Saleh, Prophet Hud, and many prophets, they were sent to this area, to the Arab Peninsula. For example, the tribe of Thamud, the tribe of Ad, they were living in areas like between Yemen and Saudi Arabia, like this kind of areas. Okay. And the punishment of Allah came to these people when they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It seems that there was a kind of a historical background in terms of the ideas and thought the people had, that if they do not follow the Prophet, so the same punishment that came to those people in those areas, they will come. Because the people knew something about religious kind of revelation or the, let's say, commandments and orders to obey Allah, to follow Allah. That's why I think historically also the people were... And they had this mindset that they have to follow. Okay. But if, for example, the Prophet were sent to Iran, I think in Iran they didn't have any kind of background in terms of following a divine prophet. Or if he was sent to Greece.
Yes.
In Greece, they were mostly philosophers. They were independently thinking of the divine sources.
That's why.
Or even India and China, they were kind of...
That's why Ruzbeh, then known as Salman al-Farsi, Salman al-Muhammadi, you know, has traveled so much distance from Isfahan in Iran to Arab Peninsula, you know, to see who is the last prophet and what are the signs. You know, he was led by Prophet Muhammad. Also, he helped Prophet Muhammad very much, you know, giving consultations on the weaponries, you know, the military attacks and something like that. As you said, that's all right. For sure, there is a hikmah behind that. And nowadays, we could see that regardless of the language and regardless of the color, so many people are following Islamic teachings based on the Arabic language, okay? And this is really beautiful. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, your final remarks.
Well, obviously, we should also remember that when we talk about the Kaaba has a long history.
Yes.
Kaaba was first built by Prophet Adam, alayhi salam. Yes. And later, the other prophets, they, you know, refurbished the Kaaba, obviously, and at the time of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he refurbished the Kaaba in its in a new way, and then we have the verses and in the history how the Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail has made it ready for the last prophet. On the other hand, you know, Kaaba itself, because even pagans or the polytheists who changed their religion after the prophets and became the pagan or the polytheist, they used to come for the tawaf and the hajj to the Kaaba. Okay. Bukht al-Nasr was one of the biggest, we can say, like, you know, emperors of his time.
Yes.
He also came to attack Kaaba,
yes,
right? So there are many, the Kaaba itself in the Saudi Arabia, we can say like in the Hijaz.
Arab Peninsula.
Arab Peninsula. Yes. It has the importance.
Yes.
And the forefathers of the Prophet, obviously, they were living in this place, in this area. And they were the key holders of the Kaaba. Because when we talk about the Abrahamic religions, you know, we say there are Abrahamic religions and non-Abrahamic religions. Yes. For example, Hinduism, Buddhism are non-Abrahamic religion.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, they are the Abrahamic religion. So this was a center for the Abrahamic even religions.
That's right.
And if it wasn't the center, then we shouldn't see the Jews living in Medina or the, you know, near the Mecca.
Yes.
Or the Christians as well.
That's right.
You know, we had all these people living next to Kaaba. Why? Yes. The reason was these Abrahamic religion knew that the last prophet will come. Mm-hmm. He will be born in this area. They have in their books that the last prophet will be born in this area.
Yes.
And even the Jews,
miracles were shown, you know.
Yes.
When Abraham attacked, you know, with the elephants. Yes. And then
the Abraham attack, like the chapter feel in the Quran, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the small birds with the stones. And they stoned all the army. So even after the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews were after kidnapping this baby.
Yes.
Because first they thought that it will be from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they moved from Palestine to
Arab Peninsula.
Hijaz.
Right. Yes.
Because they were thinking that the last prophet will be born from their tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they saw, like, he's been born from another tribe, which is Quraysh.
Yes.
then obviously
they tried to kidnap him.
Yes,
the seal of prophethood on the back of prophet. So many beautiful stories. That's all right. And nowadays we have the fruits of Islam in our hands, yes. You know, and the history of Islam is really fruitful. If you want to be, we can say, to be proud more of being a Muslim, we have to refer to the history of Islam in Hijaz and
you know how Hazrat Abu Talib, even when he was going to Syria.
Yes.
And a priest, a Christian pope.
Yes, yes, yes.
He stopped him. He said, like, move back, go back, and secure him, provide security.
His child.
So all these things, obviously,
yes,
the they signs are the evidences.
Here. That's right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of prophethood, why Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet, and why Hijaz was selected as the mainland for the establishment of the religion of Islam. It was very kind of you.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you
for thought.
Salam everybody, and heartiest congratulations to you all on the 27th of Rajab, which is indeed one of the major Islamic festivals, since this marks the formal start of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to mankind. So let us ponder on a wise saying from the Prophet. You should reward them who do you favors. If you cannot reward them, you should thank. Showing gratitude is a sort of rewarding.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
On February 5th, Pervez Musharraf, the four-star general who ruled Pakistan for nearly a decade, died in Dubai after a prolonged illness. He was 79 years old. Musharraf, who had been living in self-imposed exile in Dubai since 2016, seized power from former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif in a bloodless military coup in 1999. Back then, the country was almost bankrupt and the coup was almost popular.
You are aware of the developments of the past few days. These have placed increased demand on the armed forces for upholding national security and supreme national interest. The nation is looking towards you to deliver what they have been waiting for and deserve. That is justice, prosperity, and happiness.
On June 20th, 2001, Musharraf was sworn in as president while retaining his army chief post. A few months later, in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, then U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell famously told Musharraf, "You are either with us or against us." Musharraf wrote in his autobiography, "America was sure to react violently, like a wounded bear. If the perpetrator turned out to be Al-Qaeda, then that wounded bear would come charging straight toward us." The Pakistani general announced that his country would join the so-called U.S.-led War on Terror. He also allowed the U.S. to carry out air raids in Pakistan's tribal regions bordering Afghanistan and let Pakistan become a crucial transit point for NATO supplies headed to landlocked Afghanistan.
Let me right away say that Pakistan has taken a considered decision to be a part of the coalition, to be with the United States, to fight terrorism in all its forms, wherever it exists.
Meanwhile, the CIA began flying armed Predator drones from Pakistan with Musharraf's green light. According to the Washington-based New America Foundation think tank, the drones carried out over 400 strikes in Pakistan alone, killing at least 2,366 people, including 245 civilians.
We totally condemn this. The innocent people. This is very, very insulting for a country like America. The innocent persons are being targeted like this. We request them to abstain from this.
Number one is the message to the Pakistani people that unless we come out to protect the rights of our people, no one else will defend us, certainly not this puppet leadership. And secondly, message to the Americans that this is completely counterproductive. This is only creating hatred against the Americans. This is this collateral damage, meaning killing of innocent women and children. All it is doing is helping the terrorists. It's helping Al-Qaeda. It is endangering the Americans. This is a tried and failed policy. And the whole object of this rally is to tell the Americans that, listen, time has come for a change of strategy.
Musharraf resigned as the army chief in 2007 to become president. The same year, he imposed a state of emergency in the country to suppress massive nationwide protests against his rule, marked with an iron fist and human rights violations. In December of 2007, one of his main critics, former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, was assassinated in an attack in the city of Rawalpindi during an election rally. The public suspected Musharraf's hand in the killing, but he denied it.
Yes, I am telling people I have come here to Grange, and I've come here with a message of hope and peace, that it's important for us to turn the tide against militancy and extremism so that we can give our citizens security and we can address the real issues of the people, which is bread and butter issues. We want to address issues like empowerment, employment, and education.
The same year, Musharraf ordered a raid against the Red Mosque in Islamabad. It had reportedly become a sanctuary for militants opposed to Pakistan's support of the Afghanistan war. The operation, which took almost a week, killed over 100 people. The incident severely damaged Musharraf's reputation and made him the target of a series of assassination attempts. Musharraf once wrote, "I have confronted death and defied it several times in the past, because destiny and fate have always smiled on me. I only pray that I have more than the proverbial 9 lives of a cat." In the general elections held in February 2008, Bhutto's Pakistan People's Party emerged victorious. Faced with the threat of impeachment, Musharraf resigned as president and left the country for Dubai. The general attempted a political comeback in 2012, but instead he was arrested and put under house arrest, accused of treason and other charges stemming from the Red Mosque raid and Bhutto's assassination. For many of his critics, Musharraf was a typical military dictator. For others, he was a man who tried to restore the country's image as a beacon of enlightened moderation, as he used to say, and as an example of a Muslim state at ease with the demands of modernity. In the 9 years that he led Pakistan, Musharraf sometimes called himself a tightrope walker, someone who could balance opposing forces and bridge ideological divides. After a few years of being under house arrest, Musharraf was finally allowed to leave the country on bail to Dubai in 2016, presumably for medical treatment. His career ultimately ended in disgrace when he was sentenced to death in absentia for treason in 2019. Although that sentencing was later reversed, he never returned to Pakistan.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salamun alaikum. So welcome on this special day. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on a special occasion. Today is Mab'ath. So Mab'ath Mubarak. Mab'ath is a day of Bi'tha, which means selection of Prophet Muhammad by Allah for guidance of people. Congratulations on this big Eid.
أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي
Today, Saturday, is the 27th of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world. Prophet Muhammad was chosen as messenger of Allah at the age of 40 in the Hira cave in Mount Nur, close to Mecca. The first verses of the Quran, Surah 96, were revealed to him on that day. The Bi'tha, according to Shia point of view, was the beginning of Islam. Before the mission of Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, began, most people of that region were idol worshippers, while divine religions had some followers in different places of that region. However, after the beginning of the mission of the Prophet, Islam expanded and idol worshipping was wiped away from Hijaz. The Bi'tha has a very remarkable position among Muslims. It actually is the beginning point of Islam, the religion that in its early years had few followers and difficult circumstances and later expanded to the whole world and attracted numerous hearts. The beginning of all of that crucial change was the Bi'tha. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, dear Shia, dear Sunnis, congratulations on this great Eid, Bi'tha, the day of selection of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, by Allah for guidance of people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, in this show we are going to talk about the morals and behavior of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the Holy Quran says, certainly you have in the Apostle of God an excellent exemplar, for he who hopes in God and the latter day and remembers God much. This is chapter 33, verse 21. May God's greetings be upon him who was the selected superior and the best of pious human beings, and the greetings of the angels upon the faithful. To end this show, I'd like to narrate an invaluable tradition of the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his honored family. In the Holy Quran, there is a verse closely related with the tradition of the cloak. And stay in your houses, and do not display your finery like the displaying of the ignorance of gore. And keep up prayer, and pay the poor due that is the cut, and obey God and his apostle. God only desires to keep away the uncleanliness from you, O people of the house, and to purify you a thorough purifying. This is chapter 33, verse 33. This verse is famous as the Ayatul Tathir, and it is closely related with the tradition of the cloak. This is the tradition that I'm going to refer to. One day, the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to the house of his daughter Fatima and told her that he was very tired and asked her to cover him with his cloak as she was covering the Apostle of God. His face lit up and shone like the full moon. After a while, Imam Hassan ﷺ came to the house and said that he could smell the fragrance of his grandfather. Fatima sallallahu alayhi said that he was resting under the cloak. Hassan greeted the Holy Prophet. Imam Hassan alayhi salam greeted the Holy Prophet and asked his permission to come under the cloak. The permission was granted. Similarly, Hussein, Ali and Fatima, after greeting him and receiving permission from the Apostle of God, went under the cloak. Fatima sallallahu alayha said that when they say the Ahlul Bayt gathered under the cloak, Almighty God said, "Let it be known to you, may angels and those who are in the heavens, that I swear by my honor and might that I have not created the heavens and the earth and what are in them, but only out of love for the five honorable ones who are under the cloak." Gabriel, Jibreel, asked God who was under the cloak. God informed him that they were the people of the house of the apostle.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
In this part of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we look at the morals and behavior of Allah's last messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet and messenger of Almighty Allah, who was born in 570 AD in the city of Mecca. Muslims are advised to follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad in all aspects of life. In order to follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, we need to know the personality characteristics of him. The Prophet Muhammad taught to love, kindness, and compassion to his people and was seen to be the most loving, kind, and compassionate of all of them. Holy Prophet Muhammad is regarded as the noblest prophet of all due to his great character. There never was anyone like Prophet Muhammad whose life has been recorded in such accurate detail. And also, there never was anyone in history like the Holy Prophet Muhammad whose exemplary needs are so closely followed in their daily lives by so many people from different countries and regions of this world to present day. Happy Eid! Today is Mab'ath. Mab'ath Mubarak!
Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed. For this is the day of
La ilaha illallah Muhammad.
On the patience exhibited by the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, is the face of difficulty. Throughout the period of his mission, the Prophet Muhammad experienced all manner of difficulty. Deniers and polytheists from among his own people insulted him most terribly, even calling him a magician or a madman. Others wanted to kill him and even a scheme to do so. Despite all that, the Prophet tried to teach people of all backgrounds and cultures about the Quran and therefore about proper morality and good behavior. As is revealed in the verses of the Quran, some people had not the slightest idea of the basics of good manners, for which reason it never entered their minds that they might appall someone who possessed a superior morality. Prophet Muhammad displayed the greatest patience in his circumstances, turning to Allah and asking for his help in all situations and encouraging believers to patience and submission. In the Quran, Allah advises the Prophet to be patient despite the words of unbelievers. Listen to this verse. This verse is verse 39 from chapter Al-Qaf. So be patient in the face of what they say and glorify your Lord with praise before the rising of the sun and before it sets. Again, that was in chapter Al-Qaf, verse 39.
Mustafa, Mustafa, Mustafa.
Prophet was known to be trustworthy to the extent that even his enemies, they would trust him with their material belongings. Even his enemies. When people would ask who to keep their belongings and their possessions and their trust with, they would be pointed in the direction of the Prophet, peace be upon him. This was long before he began his prophetic mission, before he began his, the revelations began, and he began his preaching and teaching. He was known as being trustworthy. And in fact, we find that this characteristic, trustworthiness, goes hand in hand with that of truth. Truth and trustworthiness go together, just as dishonesty, falsehood, and deceit, falsehood and betrayal and distrust go together. When we come to the Quran, we find that the Quran emphasizes the importance of maintaining our trusts, that we develop trustworthiness and integrity in our lives. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, God gives several characteristics of the successful believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ The believers are successful, and then it gives several, God gives several characteristics of those who are successful believers. God says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Those who, when it comes to their trusts, when it comes to their promises and their vows, they fulfill them. They do not betray their trusts. They do not break their promises. Rather, they ensure that they fulfill their trusts and their promises. They safeguard both material and moral trusts. The Prophet, peace be upon him, long before he started his prophetic mission, he was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. It is through these characteristics that people were attracted to the Prophet. That is, they accepted his mission because they knew that he was not one to deceive others. He was not one to lie to others. He was one that could be counted on in order to maintain trust. He did not deceive others. He did not betray their trust. And so this strengthened his position. It strengthened people's trust in him. And so they came to him and they accepted his mission.
Mustafa, Mustafa, Mustafa.
Dear brothers and sisters, again, we offer our congratulations to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world on this big and special occasion. Today is Mab'ath. Dear Muslims, Mab'ath Mubarak.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.